as they have been blocking major global services such as Facebook and Instagram in a wide-ranging crackdown on free speech of any kind. Read more about this story at The Verge. Ella Curris reports for Radio World that the Communications Infrastructure Contractors Association, which is the union for broadcast tower climbers, and Storybuilt Media are releasing a feature-length documentary called Vertical Freedom about six communications infrastructure workers in the United States. Kai Nguyen is featured in the film and said he had no experience before joining the industry. Quote, "I started as a climber and then just kept working my way up," unquote, he said. Quote, "Then I became foreman and began project managing. I'm one of those types of guys where if you want it done a certain way, you have to be with them, showing them, leading by example. So I'm climbing every day," unquote. In 2012, a PBS Frontline documentary called Cell Tower Deaths reported that in the previous decade, nearly 100 climbers were killed on radio, TV, and cell towers, a rate that is about 10 times the average for construction workers. The latest death was in December of Michael Vasquez, working for Broken Arrow Communications, where he fell from a communications tower in Arlington, Washington. This industry documentary does not focus on those deaths and accidents, but hints at the issue. Quote, "The turnover rate is pretty crazy because not everyone can do it," unquote, Nguyen said in Vertical Freedom. Quote, "It takes a special type of crazy, a certain type of person, to want to be up that high working and traveling on the road. You know, you sacrifice not being home," unquote. Business Insider predicts bad solar weather this week after a solar flare knocked out radio signals in parts of Asia and Australia. The U.S. Space Weather Prediction Center reported the solar flare peaked on April 17th, followed minutes later by a massive sun eruption known as a coronal mass ejection, Space.com reported. Quote, "A pulse of X-rays from the flare produced a strong shortwave radio blackout over Southeast Asia and Australia," unquote, said NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory, which recorded the X1-class solar flare, the strongest type of storm on the sun. Quote, "Mariners, aviators, and ham radio operators may have noticed unusual propagation effects at frequencies below 30 megahertz," unquote. The good news is that the coronal mass ejection's trajectory will miss Earth, passing behind our planet in its orbit around the sun, spaceweather.com reported. Powerful solar storms can alter the Earth's northern lights displays and wreak havoc on satellites and astronauts in orbit, as well as radio transmissions. The sun is currently in an increasingly active phase of its 11-year solar weather cycle. Common internet tracking technology using radio waves is proving in real time that Russian soldiers are stealing phones, AirPods, and farm equipment from Ukrainians during their invasion of the European country. Forbes reports, for instance, that an advisor to the Belarusian Democratic Movement said, quote, "Ukrainians are locating their devices on the territory of the Homiel region, Belarus, where part of the Russian army retreated," unquote. For iPhones, the Find My app connects with hundreds of millions of Apple devices to create a shadow network, enabling a lost or stolen phone to connect to other devices via Bluetooth and then report its location back to its owner. Ukrainians who left their homes are now posting on social media accounts maps that show their iPhones or AirPods are now in Belarus or Russia. The New York Post reported that Vitaly Semenets of Hostomel, about 17 miles northwest of Kyiv, had his AirPods stolen near the beginning of the war and has watched online as they move around the region. Quote, "Thanks to technology, I know where my AirPods are now," unquote, he wrote online. David Shepardson reports for Yahoo Finance that the Federal Communications Commission voted April 21st 4-0 to fine London-based TruePhone Limited, the owner of Montana-based iSmart Mobile Phone Company, $660,639 for exceeding statutory limits for foreign ownership. The fine comes, FCC Chair Jessica Rosenwinkel says, because the commission, quote, "launched an internal assessment of Russian ownership of telecommunications interests in the United States," unquote, after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The FCC now says, quote, "it appears that TruePhone's failure to report truthful and accurate ownership information was egregious. As a result of TruePhone's failure, control of a U.S. common carrier passed to an unvetted foreign entity and associated individuals for more than 7 years," unquote. FCC Commissioner Jeffrey Stark says the company has been indirectly owned by, quote, "a small group of Russian oligarchs since at least 2011, With the importance of the internet and the shifting national security environment facing our nation, protecting our communications networks has never been more critical, unquote. Radio Sputnik, created by the Russian government's propaganda department, is airing programming on 5 AM and FM stations in the United States right now. On March 15th, a new FCC rule went into effect, forcing U.S. broadcasters to disclose any programming provided by foreign governmental entities. This has been Radio News. Go to wavefarm.org for more information.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees.
Oh, Helios. Oh, yellow star. Oh, glowing sphere. Gleaming beacon. Brilliant flaming orb. Giver of light, warmth, and radio. Yes, it's true. WGXC's brand new solar panels are installed and ready for deployment, where they'll be calling on the free and plentiful rays of the sun to bring our station close to full sustainability.
To make WGXC a solar-powered radio station.
We are going solar. WGXC will be a solar-powered community radio station, getting our power from the sun rather than foreign despots.
WGXC loves the sun, and we're going to love it even more now that WGXC is going solar.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up, and didn't know where he was.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC, Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
When she's on her best behavior, don't be tempted by her favors. Never turn your back on Mother Earth. Down's a hill from May to Beaver, and it looks so smooth to me.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acra, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Georgia, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Jada, and I live near Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today.
With an emphasis on the bookish, because sometimes we end up trailing away.
But we try to stay focused. It's usually at least tangentially related. Try not to go on too far of a tangent. But why don't we start with Jada, because we haven't heard from you in a couple weeks. Thanks for coming back. We missed you.
Anyway, for Easter in the Easter basket, Mom got me this book. It's an adapted version of The Three Musketeers.
I totally recognize that cover from like when I was a kid.
And I just like The Three Musketeers because of all the adventure. Mm-hmm. And there's like three stories of romance, but without too much kissing. Don't worry. And I also just like it because of the main character. He's really brave and his friends. And yeah, just the way that the author wrote the book. So I'd recommend reading it. It's The Three Musketeers by Alexandre Dumas.
Dumas. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the adventures? I've actually never read The Three Musketeers. Need to do that someday.
Well, the main character, D'Artagnan, he helps with the love of the Queen of France and the Duke of Winchester and fighting against the Cardinal who wants all the money and power to himself. And then D'Artagnan helps one of his fellow musketeers settle a long conflict that happened with his old lover, and they both thought each other were dead. So wow. Don't worry, not too much kissing, like I said.
Don't worry. Lots of drama and adventure, though. And PG-rated romance.
Yes, PG-rated romance, but I would recommend getting the adapted version for children first before you read the full book, the original book. I read the original book, and I'm glad, and I, boy, was I glad that I read the adapted version first.
Why?
Because I feel like you should get used to this, because there might be a little bit too much sword clashing, if you get my drift. Hmm.
Yeah, I'm curious how that reads, like how it's described, like a longer sword fight. I don't know. I haven't read a good sword fight story in a while. Yeah, I'd love to read that. Well, I probably wouldn't read the adaptation, but I'm an adult, so. but I hope to read the original someday.
The adaptation is fine for adults, but it's meant for children. And they don't leave out too many juicy details in the adapted version either.
Cool. Thanks for sharing. How about
Georgia? You're welcome.
What did you want to talk about today?
So this is a great book. I'm almost done. It's called Ban This Book. It's by Alan Gratz. And oh my gosh, it's an amazing book. My friend lent it to me, so I will read the description. It's a battle of the books, and Amy Ann is determined to win. It all started the day Amy Ann Olinger tried to check out her favorite book in the whole world from the mixed up files of Basil E. Frankweiler from the school library. That's when Mrs. Jones, the librarian, told her the bad news. Her favorite book was banned, all because a classmate's mom thought the book wasn't appropriate for kids to read. Amy Ann decides to fight back. Soon, she and her friends find themselves on the front line of an unexpected battle over book banning, censorship, and who has the right to decide what to read. And on the back, Amy Ann's Banned Books Locker Library. Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, by Judy Blume. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark by Alvin Schwartz. Matilda by Roald Dahl. Harriet the Spy by Louise Fitzhugh. Wait Till Helen Comes by Mary Downing Hahn. It's Perfectly Normal by Robbie H. Harris. From the Mixed Up Files of Mr. Basil E. Frankweiler by E.L. Konigsberg. All the J.B. Jones Books by Barbara Park. All the Captain Underpants Books by Dave Pickley. The Egypt Game, and all the Goosebumps books by R.L. Stein.
Sounds like a good locker.
So many books.
Those are all the books that were banned.
All the Judy B. Jones books and all the Goosebumps books. Imagine all that in one locker, plus all the other ones.
I wonder, did they explain why they thought Mrs. Basil E. from the Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler was not appropriate? Was it just because it might encourage someone to want to run away?
Yeah, the woman said that taught kids to cheat, lie, and steal.
Oh, I guess the brother does. He, like, doesn't he, like, cheat his friend?
No, but it's like they fight it. They get it back.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of, well, there's always book challenges every year, but there's been sort of a rise in them recently, which is unfortunate.
That's why I like to write my own books, because then nobody can ban them.
I know that they've been doing that a lot in the South, but has that been happening at the Hudson Area Library?
We haven't had any requests submitted to us, but I know that there have been some at other libraries in the region. So it's not just in the South.
I don't think that we should request to remove it because this is at elementary school's library. And, you know, the Hudson Area Library is a public library. So
I believe strongly in people's freedom to read. So I'm opposed to book banning.
Unless there's like a really, really, really good reason. Like, I wouldn't ban a book from libraries, period. But maybe like from the children's section, if there are like a lot of bad words and children seem to be like reading them. But I don't mind tightening the book security around the adult books.
I mean, I think there's a difference between curation and banning, because I think I wouldn't put like an adult book in the kids area, but I think we should have books in the library for all different people and all different interests and ages. And yeah, but I do think it's good to have a process where people can challenge books and like submit concerns, because sometimes there's also books that just have inaccurate information in. And so if somebody comes across that in a book and wants to let us know, happy to hear about it. Somebody once found a book on the shelf in the library, in the old library, and brought it to my attention. It was a book that had a section where it said that Nelson Mandela had been killed. He had been executed by hanging. And that's not at all what happened. So it just had misinformation in it. And it was really outdated. It was also like put together upside down. So if you look at the book cover and you opened it, the words were all upside down. So it had multiple problems with it. But the biggest was it just had complete misinformation in it. So I actually still have the book. I took it out of the collection, but I still have it.
Didn't he just die of old age?
I believe so. I mean, he definitely, he wasn't executed. He did. I don't remember exactly what he died of, but he lived into his older years. So. Yeah, very confusing. I'm not sure where that person got their information from. Because I even tried to research, was there, like, at the time when this book was published, were there rumors going around about this? And I couldn't find anything that suggested that had been the case. I don't know. Very odd. But that sounds like a cool book. And it's very timely, considering how much book banning is in the news right now.
Definitely.
And I just read from the Mixed Up Files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler like a few weeks ago.
Really?
So
maybe I should read it.
Oh, it's really fun. I think you'd like it. It's like definitely a little dated because it was written, forget how long ago, maybe in the 60s. I'm not positive. But I think it holds up really well. There's just certain things where like the cost of items that they buy or some of the technology is different.
I know.
And a couple words that they use are a little outdated, but it was great. I loved
it. Like what words? I didn't notice any.
I'm trying to remember now. I think it was boodle. Was it boodle? What? It was something like that. They kept.
Yeah. That sounds like a boodle of money. I remember.
Yeah. And I was like, we don't say that anymore. Maybe we should. We should bring it back.
Well, the people who are listening to this radio show, bring back boodle, bring back boodle.
Boodle.
And then donate it to WGXC, your boodle of funds. But yeah, so check out that book sometime before it gets banned. I wonder if anyone's ever tried to ban this book.
That would be funny.
There's a new book coming out sometime, I think this summer, that's about book banning as well. That's more for a teen audience, I think. But is about a school situation where there's attempts to ban a book and there's a kid that's reading it that's trying to figure out like why it would be banned. That sounded really good. So the book I was going to talk about today is actually a book for adults, but so far I don't think there's been anything too risque. I think it would be something that at least teens would like, but it is called The Devil in the White City, Murder, Magic, and Madness at the Fair That Changed America by Eric Larson. And I've wanted to read this for a really long time. I just never did. But then our nonfiction book club is reading it. So decided to take this opportunity to actually read this book. But it's set in the late 1800s at a time when Chicago won the honor of hosting the World's Fair. That was it was celebrating the anniversary of Columbus's voyage. So it was although I think it was held the year after, but it was in like 1893. So that was the goal. And the book follows two main characters. One is the architect that was in charge of like managing the project of designing all these like massive structures for this World's Fair. And then the other is a serial killer who took advantage of the fair being in Chicago to lure people in to, well, do what serial killers do and murder them. And so it's going back and forth between these two men and sort of following them in their journey throughout the time of like leading up to this fair.
Do they meet?
They haven't yet. I assume they don't, but I guess I don't know because I'm probably like halfway
in. Do the serial killers attract cereal to Chicago so they can kill the cereal?
I hope so. That would be preferable to people. I'd rather they just kill a box of cereal. Really down it. Yeah.
And it bleeds milk.
Not kills it because I chew it.
But it's really interesting because I feel like both of the, it, you know, it goes between the two characters and, or two people, and they're both interesting in very different ways. So like the architect's more interesting, just thinking about like industry and how things work in architecture and business and this growing city of Chicago and, you know, the process of getting the World's Fair to happen. And then the other one is more like kind of like watching a thriller or a psychological thriller where you're like, something's bad's going to happen. Like, is he going to get caught? Is he going to get away with it? What's going on? So it's a very interesting tempo shifting between the two parts. But it's really good so far. So I'm glad I'm reading it. I hope I can get it done by Monday. That's when we're book group talks. But it's also really interesting to me for two other reasons. One is that I just went to the expo, the World's Expo in Dubai, that was originally scheduled for 2020, but then got postponed due to COVID. So it just wrapped up in March. So I went there over the holidays when I was visiting my sister who lives in Abu Dhabi right now. And so it was really cool going to the space where they have like different pavilions for different countries and sort of are highlighting different things. And so thinking about space and how that construction impacts a place is interesting to me. And then the other reason is that for my entire childhood, at the top of the stairs in our house was a poster of the Chicago's World Fair. Although I think it was technically for a different World's Fair that was in Chicago, but it had both dates. Like it was the first date and the second date. And so I looked at this poster like every time I went to bed for my entire childhood as I got to the top of the stairs. So I'm curious. I feel like it's also interesting to think about how different places, when they have these big buildups, because it's like, you know, huge buildings and structures and statues, and to think about how the different places incorporate that into the landscape moving forward. So even when I was visiting the one in Dubai, there's like ideas for what they might do with that space now that the expo's over. But at one point I was trying to map all of the pavilions that I wanted to go to. And one of them, I tried to look up on the map searching for it, and Google Maps sent me to the pavilion. I forget which one it was, but it was the remains or the ruins of the pavilion in Osaka, Japan from a previous expo that had been there. So they have where there was an expo in Osaka at one point, they now have like a garden and they have some of the statues and some of the structures are still there. But then there's some where they just have like markers where it's like, this is where the pavilion for Brazil once stood.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I believe the next one is also going to be in Osaka. So it's also interesting thinking about, because these events are so big, you know, they put up these massive structures. They're like miles long, the grounds. At some point, you'd think that some places would run out of room to build these things. So I'm curious, like in Osaka, are they going to have it in the same space or are they going to find a different space to build up? It's just always interesting to me thinking about land use and all of that. But anyways, it's a very good book. Devil in the White City, Murder, Magic, and Madness at the Fair That Changed America by Eric Larson. And it won the Edgar Award for Best Fact Crime. And it was a National Book Award finalist, too. But that's that. So, Jada, did you get to read? I know there was a event that you sadly missed, but you had a preview copy of a book. Did you get to read that?
I loved it.
Can you tell our listeners about it?
So, The Kaya Girl has not come out yet, but if your library has some, like, a few to see if they want to have in their library, definitely check it out. It's about a girl who is wealthy, and she goes to a, like, an American school, I think. Either American or British. No, she lives in Britain, I think, and she goes to school, like, with American kids. Anyway, she goes to an English school, and for the summer, she went and helped her mom, no, her mom's sister, her aunt, in the store that she has in the market. And when she's there, she meets this Kayayu girl, which is a person who, or more traditionally, a girl or a woman who carries things around for customers on their head for a little fee. And they start making friends. And she teaches her about how the universe works. And the Kayayu teaches the girl about, like, how to be more confident. And according to the girl, she makes questions seem silly with a simple word. And just the way that the author writes it, you can tell that the author really feels strongly about what the settings and the characters. And it's just really a great read. It's, I can't put it into words, but it's really good.
Yeah, I'm excited to read that book as well. I was hoping to read it while I was away, but the day I would have had to pick up the book, I was not feeling well and had to stay home. So I didn't get to pick it up. So hopefully I'll get to read it when it comes out. Does anyone have anything that they're excited to read next, or other bookish things they want to note?
My bookish answer is I'm just going to keep rereading the books I got.
That's fair. I don't know what I'm going to read next. I have a lot of books checked out right now. A few good-looking graphic novels. Oh, I do have some bookish news, but it's not for a while. So I don't want you to get your hopes up. This is, I think, mostly for Georgia, that I just learned there is a new Kayla Miller book coming out, but I think it's not until the summer. And it is called Crunch. It's Click 5, Crunch.
Oh my gosh, yes!
It says, Olive is balancing the too many things she wants to do with the too few hours in the day to do them. When everything adds up, suddenly it's crunch time. I can relate. That's not coming out until the end of August, so you have a little while to to just be like, please, come sooner. But that gives me time to read. I've already read Click. It gives me time to read Camp, Act, and Clash, and maybe Besties as well.
In my opinion, the best one of them is Camp.
I definitely want to read that one because I love a good camp story. Reminds me of my times at Girl Scout camp as a kid. Actually, hearing about the Kaya girl also reminded me of my Girl Scout days, because there was one badge that I did where one of the things that you could do was to try carrying a bucket of water, I think it was, around on your head. And they told you to go around your block with a bucket of water on your head and, like, reflect on the experience. And I couldn't, well, first of all, I had a lot of hills. Like, I would have had to go, like, down a hill and up a pretty steep hill to do that, which seemed hard with a bucket of water. But I apparently do not have a good head for carrying stuff on my head, because it's really hard to balance anything. Like, I could not balance a book on my head and walk more than, like, I couldn't even walk a step.
Your hands on the bucket when you were walking?
Probably. I actually didn't. I tried it very briefly and was like, I'm not going to be able to make it up and down these hills with this, which I guess was a way, you know, I learned something from that, but I didn't get to count that towards the badge. I had to do something else. But I always think of that. It's a lot of work carrying things on your head.
Yeah, I can't imagine just carrying things on your head all day, every day.
I guess you'd probably get used to it. I know that some places also there's like a thing that you would wear on your head, like a, it's not a hat, but like a piece of fabric or something that would then help to make it more comfortable and maybe more balanced for people that don't have flat heads like me.
I don't know if I have a flat head or not.
To try carrying stuff around, I don't know. But anyways, we are just about out of time for today. But we hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time, read lots of banned books, and we'll be back next week to talk about some more. Until then, happy reading.
Bye. Happy reading.
Bye.